Good morning. Wonderful to be with you and look at God's Word for a few minutes. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 10. I've titled our message this morning, Maintenance Protection Plan. Our Maintenance Protection Plan for our Spiritual Life. And you'll turn with me, we'll read the scripture and begin. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. In the last few minutes before John F. Kennedy Jr.'s little single-engine airplane went into the seas off of Martha's Vineyard, its radar track showed all the evidence of a mind wobbling in tortured confusion called vertigo. This confusion steered Kennedy down a horrifying spiral to his death. It's the kind of confusion and panic that killed him, and it arose in his mind and he struggled with it because there was a contradictory signal from his inner ear and his rational senses. There was a struggle between reason and emotion, and they were at war. You see, the inner ear measures the movement in relation to the fixed sense of gravity. And the inner ear is equipped with tubes of liquid that shift in response to movement, while the mind, you see, compares these signals against gravity. And this balancing apparatus signals the pilot's mind and says, you're strapped in a seat and it's now level, as if you're just sitting squarely at your kitchen table. But by contrast, at the same moment, Kennedy was feeling perfectly right side up. The aircraft instruments conveyed the message, your wings are tilted steeply to the right, the nose of your plane is pointing down, and your airspeed is howling past the red line. The airplane's flight path created forces that befuddled one's awareness of Earth's gravity. To judge by the sensations in the seat, you literally cannot tell up from down, left from right, and you're as helpless to move out of the airplane's acceleration field as if you were pinned to one of those spinning circuses centrifuges where the floor drops out. And here's the whole point. The pilot's emotions drowned out what the flight instruments were saying about the banking and diving at high speed, and screamed out, no way, it can't be true, I'm actually flying straight and level, I know it, I feel it's true. That's what killed him. We're going to look today and see if we are where we think we are spiritually. Our passage today gives us what I've titled a maintenance protection plan for our spiritual life. It is a plan, an antidote, a prescription, a remedy, a solution, an answer on how we're to live wisely. And these principles are found all throughout the Word of God, but in our text today, it's capsuled. Dr. Walkey says this about our text. He says, you will not get a finer education in most colleges and universities on how to live life, on honor, and true success as a believer than right here in our text. This plan, if properly followed, will protect us against a wrong decision when unexpected temptation comes. It'll keep us on the right path spiritually. In other words, if you want to live in peace, if you want to know how to handle your children correctly, if you want to have a great relationship with your parents, if you want to have a happy marriage, if you want to know how to deal with problems and trials that come your way, then we need to buy into this plan. If we'll use this plan, it will enable us to cope with trials and problems that hit all of us. It will guide us, you see, in choosing the right mate. It will guide us in being successful by God's standards in our business, in our preaching, or in our teaching, or whatever your occupation is. It is a very positive text, and it radiates God's promises. We cannot ignore this. Our spiritual life depends on it. Listen, Solomon is an example. He failed. He wrote this, and yet he failed to heed his own wisdom late in his life, and he did not maintain his spiritual life. And he compromised his own words, and he fell. And that illustrates a key principle. Spiritual success today does not guarantee spiritual success tomorrow. Spiritual success today, where you think you are today, does not guarantee that you and I are going to be okay tomorrow. So we find ourselves here in Proverbs chapter 3, where the wise father is in the middle of his teaching. And he is assuming that we're dialed in to what he's already said in chapters 1 and 2. And it's very important to understand what the wise father has already been teaching his children. We need to look just briefly at the context and the backdrop of this chapter. Remember, Proverbs is a picture of a wise father teaching his children how to live in this wicked, evil, fallen world. The wise father is teaching his young children, this is the way you navigate through a very difficult and trying life. And the verses aren't just haphazardly thrown onto the page. There is a flow to them. Look back real quick in chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. He started out very early teaching his children on how to study the Bible, how to get wisdom, and how to stay in the Word. So look real quick. He says in verse 1, "My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you." Number one, we need to accept and receive the Word of God. Number two, we need to store it up, you see. Memorize it and meditate it. Meditate on it. Look at verse 2. "Make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding." We need to pay attention, serious attention to the Word of God. Verse 3, "For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding." We need to always study and pay attention and meditate and accept God's Word with an attitude of prayer. And lastly, look, he's saying, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, we need to seek, we need to search, we need to dig, and we need to diligently study God's Word. So the wise father, you see, is laying out the background and the backdrop of what we're getting ready to see today. And he is trying to explain to his young children and to us that it is extremely important and essential that we stay in God's Word. It is fundamental. It is the fuel for the race. It is essential. It is the life-sustaining water of our spiritual life. And it is the basis of our maintenance protection plan. We can never be truly protected spiritually without staying in the Word. Now, I've divided these verses into five sections. Five areas that we need to check And if you are having a tough time spiritually and you feel far from God, it's a great outline. It's a great way to have a tune-up to see where you are. Now look at verses 1 and 2. I've outlined it as check the alignment of your heart. Check the alignment of your heart. Verses 3 and 4, check the emissions of your life. Verses 5 and 6, we're going to look at checking the level of trust in God. In verses 7 and 8, we're going to check the warning alarm of self-sufficiency. In verses 9 and 10, check the degree of your giving. Well, let's start with verses 1 and 2. Check the alignment of your heart. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Now remember, we all know this, there is a great battle going on between two spiritual forces, God and Satan, and the stage it's being played out on is where? It is earth. We are in the middle of a great battle and a great war in the heavens, and it's being played out on this earth. And we as believers will ultimately be part of Christ when He crushes Satan. But until then, as our Lord was bruised on His heel and He suffered pain and He suffered hurt, we too will have trials of varying degrees. And as we live in the middle of this gigantic battle of good and evil, Proverbs is teaching us how to live in the middle of this wicked, evil world. So the wise father here in Proverbs is like any good teacher. He wants to stop in the middle of his counsel and he wants to say, now remember. Now don't forget. You see, it's not if trials and it's not if temptations or difficulties will come, but it's just when. And when they come, our tendency and my tendency is to forget. Do you see that? My children take lots of lessons in baseball and tennis, and the constant thought of the coach is, how can I teach them where they don't forget? How can I teach them to not forget it when the game's on and when the pressure's high and the emotions are running? Well, the key is that they need to build it into their muscle memory, and it needs to become instinctive. And so the wise father here in Proverbs knows that when the temptation and trials hit us, we need to deal with the tendency of not forgetting. Otherwise, Solomon wouldn't bring it up. You see, we have this propensity to forget. And the Bible teaches that this forgetfulness has nothing to do with brain power. I want to blame it on my brain power because I forget. But the reality is the reason you and I tend to forget, and the reason all the way through Scripture that God says remember, is because it is a moral defect. I wish I could blame it on not being faithful. But it's not. When I forget God, and when I forget His Word, and when I forget what He wants me to do, that is a moral defect in my heart. It is what we're born with. It is the weakness of our sinful flesh. It is the remnant of the wicked and deceitful black heart that unfortunately still dwells in us. The heart is wicked and deceitful above all else. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. So this is a heart issue. Forgetting is a heart issue, and we need to be consistently remembering and not forgetting and continue to maintain, you see, our relationship with God. What we're really saying when we forget the Word of God in a situation, and what we're really saying is that we're self-dependent. We're saying that we're self-confident. We're saying that we're self-sufficient. And we're saying that in these circumstances I find myself in, how many of us are this way? We really say, I can handle it. I'll handle it. We forget because we tend to have this attitude, I don't need God for now. It's going okay. And that is a moral problem. It is like weeds that grow in your heart and in my heart. The heart is the first thing that wanders from God, and it's the first thing that returns. And that's why God wants our hearts, you see. He has to have our heart, not merely our external behavior. He needs the internal part of our heart because He knows the wickedness that remains and the evil that's left over, and it will cause us to forget if we're not careful. The weeds in our heart need to be pulled and need to be maintained, you see, or it will cause us much distress. So we need to give ourselves a heart alignment test right now. What do you really desire? Where is your heart? It's like this wise father is saying to his children, even though you agree with me on all this, even though all of you sitting out here say, yeah, I'm right here with you. When you get up and you leave and you go out in life and days and weeks and months pass, you will have a tendency for your heart to get out of alignment and follow its natural and evil desires, and you'll become self-confident, and you'll become self-independent, and we all struggle with self-reliance and self-sufficiency. And the further we get away from God's Word, the more we follow our heart's wicked desires, we'll forget our Father's teachings if we're not careful, because our hearts can be so easily knocked out of alignment. Will you agree with me on that? Do you see that in your own life? It's the way we're made. So the wise father starts out and says, don't forget. Do not forget. That is the warning. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. And then he goes on and says, but let your heart keep my commandments. Dr. Walkie says there isn't a word in our English language strong enough to translate this word keep. It's a word for guard. It means to watch over God's commandments. Remember, the Father is already assuming that His children are staying in the Word, like He said in chapter 2. He's already assuming that we're memorizing and that we're meditating and that we're studying and that we're digging and searching for it diligently. So this word keep in our text means we must watch these commandments carefully and thoroughly so no circumstance or any person can take them away from us. It's the same word for you mothers in watching your child. How you watch over them. How you keep them. How you want to know where they are at all times. God wants us to watch over and keep His commandments. Every word of them. And He means for us to preserve, you see, these commands. This word keep is illustrated in Isaiah 27:3. He says, I, the Lord, am its keeper. I water it. That's the vineyard referring to Israel. Every moment, so no one will damage it, I guard it day and night. The words here, keeper and guard, are the same words we have here in our text. It means, listen, don't let anything take it away. Just as the Lord makes sure no thief or robber comes in and destroys the crop or spoils or steals the crop. That's the way we're to view the Word of God. We are to guard it, and we are to keep it. And how are we to do that? How are we to do that? Listen, we hear this all the time. Dan mentioned it in his message today. But I am so fearful that we as believers, and I look in my own life, do not respect this command enough. In God's Word, we do not spend enough time, and we're not serious about keeping God's Word. And we cannot keep God's Word unless we're in God's Word. It is essential. It is key. It is the most important thing that you will ever do in your life. Accept it. Meditate on it. Pay attention to it. Pray when you study. Seek it. Swim in it. Treasure in it. You know what? If you don't hear anything the rest of the message, take that with you. That is the key. That is the backbone of the Christian life. So if we're to constantly check, you see, the alignment of our hearts, we need to do it by not forgetting, by remembering, by guarding, by keeping it aligned toward the will of God. And if we do, look at the promise in verse 2. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. The reward of a properly aligned heart is a long and happy life. Now let me explain. Bridges says that length of days in this text is the promise for the righteous, whether for earth or for heaven. And it ultimately depends on the sovereign hand of our Father in heaven as He sees fit how long we live on this earth. But we must trust that God deals sovereignly in His own ways with each of us. So this is a general principle. The wicked, for the wicked, this is as good as it gets in this world. This is as good as it gets. But for the believer, it only gets better. And look what else is added. Peace for length of days and years of life, and peace. A heart properly aligned promotes an abundant life in fellowship with the eternal living God. Do you see that? So the background is staying in the Word of God and making sure our hearts, you know what? I cannot look at you and tell if your heart is aligned with God, and you can't look at me. Only you know if your heart is aligned with God. And it means that we need to be obedient. And if we're obedient, and if our heart is aligned with God, then there is a promise that God will give us inner contentment, delight, and joy, and pleasure in this life, rather than the curse of endless years without peace. So we're to keep our hearts aligned. We're to keep our hearts aligned, not forgetting the Lord's commandments. Guard them and keep them, these commandments at the center of our lives. And the result, look at the result. It's an abundant life here on earth, characterized by peace, and an eternal life of peace and joy beyond our imagination as we go to heaven. So first, we need to check the alignment of our heart. And next, verses 3 and 4, we need to check the emissions of our life. Look at verse 3. It says, "Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." Now the wise father is telling us, if you're digesting what I've been teaching you, if you're doing what I'm saying, if you're being obedient, and you understand, the wise father has got his wisdom from God. It's coming from God. And he's saying, if you're doing this, if you're staying in the Word of God, and you're aligning your heart with God's commandments and obeying, then your life will emit what? Kindness and truth. Do you see that? These traits are not to leave us. Kindness and truth. Dr. Hubbard says these two characteristics influence every choice and movement in our lives if we're believers. Think about it. These character qualities are the opposite of selfishness and faithlessness of wicked men. kindness and truth is to be emitted by the believer that walks with God. It can't happen any other way. The Hebrew word kindness means to have a loving, loyal relationship. It's when two people have a relationship with each other in a marriage or an employee-employer or a teacher-student or a coach-player or a child-parent or maybe a friend-to-friend, you see. Do you emit love and loyalty? Bathed in truth. Remember, it's not real love if it's not in truth. We are to emit these traits in our lives wherever God has placed you. We see these characteristics, kindness and truth, in our Heavenly Father, don't we? He exercises both of them everywhere. And we see it more clearly than at the cross, where our Savior gave His life for all who believe in kindness and in truth. So we need to emit in our lives these characteristics and these qualities. We need to show kindness and truth because this is how we show the world who we are. And these character traits are to be permanent fixtures, not on and off. Look what it says, verse 2. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. That's verse 3. Wouldn't it be a blessing that at our funeral, the first words out of everybody's mouth was, he or she was kind, loyal, loving person, loved the Lord, and they showed it by the way they lived. And if we emit kindness and truth, we have a promise in the way others will see us. Look at verse 4. So you will find favor and good repute. That means you'll be esteemed in the sight of God and man. That's the promise. You remember Joseph in Egypt back in Genesis? It says in Genesis chapter 39, verses 3 and 4, now his master Potiphar saw that the Lord was with him and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant, and he made him overseer of his house and all that he owned, he put him in charge of. That's what God will do for us. That's what God will do for us, you see, if we keep our lives focused on the Word of God, if we keep our hearts aligned towards His commandments, and if we show kindness and truth. You remember what He did for David, 1 Samuel 18? So David went out wherever Saul sent him and prospered, and Saul set him over the men of war, and it was pleasing in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. So our maintenance protection plan is first to check the alignment of our heart, check what you're emitting. And next, verses 5 and 6, check your level of trust in God. Look at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Bridges says in his commentary that these verses contain the North Star of every Christian life. I love that. We know it's the brightest star at the end of the handle of the Little Dipper. And for years and years and years, it was the star that was used for navigation. It's been used by explorers throughout history. And so these verses are really a navigation aid for us. And this is where we check our level of trust. These verses summarize how much trust you and I should have in our relationship with the Lord. Look at the first part. Let's talk about what trust means. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. The word trust means to throw yourself upon God. It means to abandon everything in your self-effort The word in Arabic is to lie prostrate upon the ground. Or just throw yourself on the ground with reckless abandon. Throw yourself on God totally. Give everything to God. It means to renounce all confidence in yourself. It means that since the only thing that is for sure is God's Word, and He backs it up, we need to trust in that totally. You remember God's wonderful provision for Israel in the Old Testament? He gave them the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And you know they wanted the entire journey laid out, just like we do. I don't want it one chapter at a time. But He didn't do that. He didn't lay out their entire journey and map it out. He forced them in a position of trust. And that's what He does to you and I. He gave specific instructions and said when the pillar of cloud moved, they were to move. And when the pillar of cloud did not move, they were not to move. And if the pillar of cloud stayed in one place for one day or one week or one month, they were to stay there. And if it moved from day to day, they were to move from day to day. In other words, if the cloud moved, so were they. Why? Because the cloud represented the Word of God. And as a matter of fact, if at night the pillar of fire moved and Israel didn't move, they found themselves in darkness. And if they moved and the pillar of fire didn't move, then they moved into darkness. And so as a believer, if we're to be trusting in our Lord, when we move away from a total trust in Him and His Word, we are what? We're walking in darkness. It doesn't matter what your emotions are telling you. You cannot live your Christian life effectively. I cannot live my life effectively without a continued study and maintenance of God's Word in my life. So we're to trust God totally. And notice what kind of trust this is. Look, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. This trust is entirely with all your heart. So what's the level of trust we should have? The level of trust we should have is entire. It's with everything we have. It's all that we have. It is a total commitment of our will. It means that I'm prepared to go anywhere, anytime, in any cost for Jesus. How many of us are holding something back? How many of us have a little back door exit? How many of us have built a bridge, a little back bridge that takes us back over into another territory that we think won't matter? We need to blow that bridge up today so we can trust in the Lord with our whole heart. But notice Solomon speaking says we have to go further. It isn't yet finished. He isn't yet finished on telling us how to gauge the level of our trust. Not only are we to trust entirely, but we are to trust exclusively. Look at 5, verse 5b, do not lean on your own understanding. My friend and business partner is a pilot, and when he was trying to get his instrument flight rating in his plane, I can remember him saying it's like trying to fly in clouds. He said it's like being inside of a ping pong ball. The first thing he had to do, even though he didn't want to, is not look outside, because he's trained that his eyes will betray him. Because when you're in the clouds, as we mentioned earlier, your inner ear will cause you to get disoriented. In other words, you may feel you're in a nosedive or in a banking turn and adjust to that feeling, and it will kill you, just like John F. Kennedy. So my friend said that they teach you that there are three steps to take. One is you have to cross-check your instruments with the other instruments to make sure they're working. That's the first thing you do. And it's likened to looking back in your life and remembering how the Lord has always been faithful. You see, you need to cross-check your life and the faithfulness of God. That's number one. And number two, he's told that you need to interpret what the instruments are saying. That's likened to the Word of God. It is our instrument. It is our guide. And lastly, he says, you have to control the plane based upon the instruments. Not how he feels. Not by his emotions. Because you cannot trust them. They will kill you. And that is the hardest thing to do in our Christian life. Because our fallen nature, our emotions, our feelings are so strong, they will confuse us and they will tug us in the wrong direction. Our feelings, our emotions are in a way phantom lies against the instrument of the Word of God. We don't want to live by what we feel and see. So we need to train ourselves to live by what? The Word of God. How dumb is it? How dumb is it to build our lives on our finite minds? Our life is too short. Our brains are too weak. Our control is too little. Dr. Walkie says, our brains are like thimbles compared to an ocean of information. You and I know nothing, practically speaking, and yet we become so proud of our little thimble full of knowledge compared to what God knows as the creator of the universe and the author of life. So we cannot trust our own understanding. So as we measure our level of trust, we must be entire and we must be exclusive. And lastly, look, it must be extensive. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. That really means that in all your ways, in every affair of your life, in every situation of your life, at work, at home, at play, on the field, on the court, in your finances, in your health, in relationships, in everything, in your trials, in your temptations, in your victories, in your blessings, in every area of our lives, we need to desire His presence. And when we bring our Lord into every corner of our lives, and we recognize His awareness, and we recognize His claims, and we know what His Word says about it, then He brings His truths to light. So we must constantly strive to keep our level of trust entirely with all our heart. Exclusively, not leaning on our own understanding. Extensively, acknowledge Him in all our ways. And He will bless us and reward us by what? Look at verse 6b. 6b, the last part. And He will make your path straight. He will make our path straight or smooth, or some translations say He will direct our paths. When we have devoted, trusting hearts, God will give us guidance on the path and where we should walk in our life. He'll direct us, in other words, in all of our decisions. The word direct in Hebrew is found once in Isaiah where it says, "The Lord shall make a highway." And when we embrace the proper level of trust in God, and there is a decision that comes your way, this is so great. God's just not going to give you a little idea, but He's going to make a highway, and He will cut and pave a highway, and He will guide us where He wants us to be. We may not know where we're going, but when we're trusting in the Lord entirely, exclusively, extensively, we can be sure that we're going to end up in the right place. And that is a truly wise and successful Christian life. We'll be like the children of Israel, you see, as they follow the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud by day. We won't be able to make a mistake. All the decisions that face us, we worry about. God will cut a highway for us through this life. So our first three points were check the alignment of your heart, the emissions of your life, and the level of trust. And next, the wise father continues. And he continues to caution us again of never ending up in the grip of self. Look, check in verses 7 and 8 the warning alarm of self-sufficiency. Boy, this is hard. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body, refreshment to your bones. We need a warning alarm of being wise in our own eyes, don't we? Or self-sufficient. That alarm needs to sound when we find ourselves no longer at the feet of God. In other words, it is so easy to live in a self-sufficient way. When we do that, we stop praying for the most part. We stop spending time in the Word of God. And when that happens, there needs to be a warning alarm that goes off. And it should remind us that, whoops, I am not being dependent on God. I'm depending on self. This verse means that if we stand in awe of God and fear and reverence, then we'll be able to be more dependent on Him and we'll be psychologically strong. The very center of our being will be solid. The more dependent on God, the less sufficient we become. It'll lead us to a state of complete physical and mental well-being, and there will be inner peace. So please, we need to check the warning alarm of self-sufficiency and make sure it's working. And last, verses 9 and 10, we need to check the degree of our giving. Honor the Lord with your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty. The word honor here means to esteem a person, having value and prominence. We are to honor the Lord with our best. The best is the first of our produce. It not only means crops in an agrarian society, but what he means here is that we are to honor the Lord with all of our revenue, with the best. Why give the best? Why is the wise father saying, give the best? Because it's a sign of our love and our trust and our devotion. It acknowledges that God is the owner. It acknowledges that we are lining up the way we should. J. Vernon McGee says, we're not totally committed to the Lord until our checkbooks are committed to. He goes on to say, genuine spirituality is not the length of the prayer that you pray. It is the amount on the check that you write. And that is the way one can determine spirituality. So check the degree of your giving. Well, let's conclude. There is no maintenance plan at all without first knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. But for those of us that are believers, there is a maintenance protection plan that will help us in our spiritual lives. And the first thing that is always undergirding, that is back of it, is immersing ourselves in the Word of God. And with that, we need to keep our hearts aligned with Him. We need to admit kindness and truth to all we come in contact with. We need to trust Him totally. Alarms need to go off when we become self-sufficient. And finally, we need to check the degree of our giving. An article in the National Geographic several years ago provides an illustration about how God protects us and He guides us as believers. We maintain our spiritual life. And let me close with this. After a forest fire in Yellowstone National Park, forest rangers began their trek up a mountain to assess the inferno's damage. One ranger found a bird literally petrified in ashes, perched, statuesque, on the ground at the base of a tree. Somewhat sickened by the eerie sight, he knocked over the bird with a stick. And when he gently struck it, three tiny chicks scurried from under their dead mother's wings. The loving mother, keenly aware of impending disaster, had carried her offspring to the base of the tree, had gathered them under her wings, and instinctively knowing that the toxic smoke would rise, she could have flown to safety, but she refused to abandon her babies. And when the blaze arrived, the heat scorched her small body. The mother had remained steadfast because she had been willing to die so those under the cover of her wings would live. And that is the way God loves us. And this is the way He protects us. And that is the way He guides us. If we follow His ways and we obey His commands and we maintain our spiritual lives. Being loved this much should make a difference, shouldn't it? Spiritual success today does not guarantee spiritual success tomorrow. May God help us live lives that are devoted to Him. and maintained for him. If you're here today and you're not a believer in Christ, if you've been going through the motions, if you've been showing it on the outside, maybe for years, if you're not trusting in Him alone as your Savior, there is no protection for you coming to protect you from the fires of hell. Settle the question. Flee to the cross and the forgiveness that Christ gives. Trust in Him for the forgiveness of sins. And may God help us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this great truth in the Scripture. We thank You that You've given us... You have given us the outline. You've given us the plan that we need to maintain a proper relationship with You, that we can live in this very difficult world. And Father, we thank You most of all for Jesus Christ, that He came and died for us, that He gave Himself for us, and that we are to flee to the cross, totally trust, abandon all of ourselves and all of our wishes and all of our wants and give them to You. And we thank You that when we do that, the blessings come back more than we can imagine. In Christ's name, amen.